Winter, which is seemingly lasting forever this year, renews the soil so the food we need can be grown in warmer months. Your cells renew so that your body can heal and be maintained. You sleep, or at least try to, every night, so you can be renewed and function the next day. Our need for renewal has been laid by God into the foundation of creation. And that is why we need forgiveness. It is God's design for renewal. We're going to talk about that, but first let's pray. Holy God, help us become masters of ourselves that we might become the servants of others. Take our eyes and see through them. Take our ears and hear through them. Take our minds and think through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. And all God's people said. We've been talking about the Lord's Prayer as written in the book of Matthew. St. Augustine says that every prayer we could ever think of is found in the Lord's Prayer. Rose Folsom says the Our Father is like the spiritual cross-training of prayers. She says in its seven petitions, we hit every major muscle group we need for strong connection with God, ourselves, and our neighbors. And I don't know about you, but each Sunday in Lent, as we look at each part of the prayer, I've been hearing it differently. I've been hearing Jesus differently. I've been thinking about my faith differently. And as we come to this week's petition that Rob said in his email this week, it's probably the hardest, I got stuck on the word "and." Did you ever notice it? I never noticed the word "and." We pray, "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts." Now, I know we say trespasses here. Some places say sin. But in the book of Matthew, that Greek word is for debt. It seems like a much harder word. But maybe Matthew wrote it that way for those who would hear it in Jesus' time. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That word "and," I got stuck. When we pray for daily bread, as Pastor Rob mentioned last week, we're praying about more than just bread. We're praying about God's provisions for our needs. Help us with what we need: our food, our shelter, our water, our health, but also what weighs on our hearts and minds and souls. So we're asking God for what we need, but he doesn't stop with bread. Jesus says, pray for daily bread and forgiveness. I'm not sure we always consider forgiveness as an actual need. Maybe we think of it as a helpful practice, one that we should probably do, or something spiritual that isn't really connected to our daily lives. When we would come to the table to eat in my childhood, my mom would pray, "God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food, amen." And my dad, who was a great deal more irreverent, would say, "Good bread, good meat, good God, let's eat." But forgiveness was never mentioned as part of our daily needs. N.T. Wright says that in our lives today, we might have forgotten forgiveness. Or maybe we've sort of trivialized it. He says sometimes we have learned to substitute forgiveness for tolerance. He says tolerance is at best a low-grade parody of forgiveness. At worst, it's a way of sweeping real human issues, real human life, under the carpet. And if it's under the carpet, then it's still there. The hurt, the guilt, the division, the anger, if it's tolerated, it's still in us and between us. But I wonder if forgiveness can just feel too hard. Maybe you feel that way this morning. Sometimes forgiveness, asking for it or needing it or receiving it, can just feel too hard in a world of high performance where we carry so much guilt or shame for our imperfections. And yet our God loves us so much that God has built in room for our humanness. Whether we are misstepping and being imperfect in big or small ways, it is held in the hands of grace. God's built that in. It goes all the way. Bread and forgiveness seems to go all the way back to the Ten Commandments, the fourth to be specific. It's about Sabbath and the Jewish laws of faith around it. That's what we're talking about in the scripture you just heard, in the book of Deuteronomy. In that scripture today, we find Jesus' people, the Israelites, standing on the bank of the Jordan, peering into the promised land that they have been wandering around for 40 years. They're ready to go home. And Moses pauses them to give them a homeowner's manual, if you will. It's filled with the mitzvot in Hebrew, holy laws, duties that will help live holy and healthy lives. We pick up on the part today of the holy laws about Sabbath. You know Sabbath, God's commandment to rest and renew every 7 days. But that command within Jewish law extends into 7-year rhythms, like the field you plant, just let it go that 7th year. Don't plant it so it will renew and be vital again. But think about that. That means that whatever was stored from the 6th year of food to last, they would be depending on God's provision. Give us this day our daily bread. And in the verses we just read, that 7-year rhythm extends to economics, canceling debt. And here's why. The Israelites used to have huge trusts of land held in clans and families, and they would operate as a social structure, and then it moved to acquiring capital. They would buy and sell land, invest in business ventures, and the debt would climb and climb and climb, and there weren't a lot of checks and balances. So this law limits the extent to which economics can shape people's lives. Debts were forgiven. They were released every 7 years, creating a pattern of renewal. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those, forgive our debtors. It's creating a pattern of renewal. So imagine for a minute what Jesus' Jewish hearers would think, because they know the commands, they know the laws, they know Sabbath is about renewal. Suddenly, Jesus is praying about bread and forgiveness. They would know this is a command by God about Sabbath and survival, about help and healing, about God renewing our needs for land and community and hearts and lives. But Jesus puts a twist on it, because Jesus always does that. He says, not just every 7 days, it's not just every 7 years, it's daily bread. It's daily forgiveness. And not just for our business debts or our land debts, but the debts between us and God and each other. A few years ago, a friend's teenage son was struggling. Despite her every effort to help, he had run away from home. She used all possible legal and community routes to find him, but no luck. And then through technology, she learned he was safe and planning to come home, but not yet. She emailed me and said, I hear he's coming to your church tonight. It was Maundy Thursday. He arrived, too skinny, tired eyes, head down, back row. And when it came time for communion, he came to the rail early. He knelt. He bowed his head. He draped his folded hands over the rail, and he stayed while every single person came and received Holy Communion. The entire choir then got served, and still he stayed. And then finally, he opened his hands for communion and received it. He nodded and went back to his seat, head up. I learned later he came that night because he told his mom he needed to come. before he could go home, before he could go back to school, before he could redirect his life, before he could hold his head up, something in him needed to release the weight he was carrying from the scary things we later learned had been done to him and the scary things he said he had done while gone. This young man grew up knowing that God loves him unconditionally, that God made him and loves him without measure. And somehow, he seemed to say he needed to go to God because he hadn't honored the way God had made him to be. And he recognized the horrible harm that had been done to him. This young man's soul seemed to know what Adam Hamilton describes as a sort of natural, you break it, you buy it kind of life. Whether we do or don't do things, whether we intentionally do them or accidentally do, when we do harm or harm is done to us, there is a need for repair. Some would say a debt of repair. We carry the weight of that debt. That debt is felt by our souls. That need for healing is known in us. So this young man came and knelt before a gracious God who offers us all a way to release it, to renew and restore our hearts and our lives. You see, that's what the word forgiveness means in the book of Matthew. It means release, in Greek, aphiemi, meaning release. The young man named it all before God, and then he opened his hands and let it go and received the grace of communion bread and forgiveness. And he went and back and renewed his life and his relationships. He and his mom are well. He is in college today and thriving. He said he needed it. Maybe you and I need it too. Maybe our communities need it. And so today's question is this: where do you need renewal? Where are you carrying hurt or anger or rage or guilt or shame or brokenness? Here again today, you don't have to carry that weight and burden of it all. You don't have to just tolerate it and live with it. God offers you and I forgiveness that our hearts and our relationships have a way to be renewed. Hearts and relationships, it's both. Our own hearts and relationships with each other and with God. The saying is, forgive us our debts or trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's a really hard saying. It's a really hard part of this prayer. And I gotta wonder, maybe you wonder with me, is that what Jesus really means? But then a few verses later, he doubles down and says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others their sins, your Father will also not forgive you. Whew. Surely Jesus doesn't mean that, right? Because we know a God, a Jesus of unconditional love and grace, but that feels conditional. That doesn't seem to line up with the unconditional grace we know. But perhaps Jesus is just teaching the nature of grace, of what it means to forgive and be forgiven. Because forgiveness with God and others is really kind of all knotted up together. Richard Wilkie puts it this way: there is a mysterious transaction. When God forgives us, we forgive ourselves and we forgive other people. It's all one process. Jesus wore a robe without seams, woven in one piece. That's like forgiveness. It's all one piece. The bountiful pardon of Almighty God is a forgiveness that flows through us and back and to and from other people. Leanne Jackson, a church member, writes a story that shows it's all one piece. It was published in The Guidepost, and it was about her mother-in-law named Lily, who throughout her life seemed to intentionally do more and more cruel things to the people closest to her, like asking her daughter-in-law what she'd like of hers when she's gone. When Leanne finally noted she'd really love her sewing machine, her mother-in-law said, "You shall have it," and then made a point of instead giving it to her granddaughter in a big show at her graduation. And after Lily promised two granddaughters some special jewelry, she then went back and changed her will and gave that jewelry to other granddaughters. And the meanness went on and on. And when Lily died, Leanne couldn't stop thinking about what Lily did. That she got away with it. She never got what she deserved, and she left all this hurt in the wake. Leanne couldn't let it go. Was carrying that anger and resentment around with her until she learned more about Lily's past. But her mom and dad didn't even name her or look at her for a few days after she was born because she wasn't a boy. And when they did finally have a boy, they ignored her. That her dad gambled away church monies and deserted the family, and Lily had to go to work really early to support the family. And then the family squandered her opportunity to go to college, and so on. You see, Lily carried around all the debts of repair that people owed her. Debts of abuse and cruelty and neglect, and then she passed them on to others. But on the day of Lily's funeral, Leanne read the eulogy, and she said this: "You are no doubt aware that some aspects of Lillian's life were very difficult. But we strongly believe that in the end, God wins and puts everything right." So Leanne pictured Lily before God, wincing at the countless hurtful actions. Then God's radiant love swept through and wiped them all away. Knowing the forgiveness of God for Lily and herself, Leanne says, "I forgave Lily and released her to the one whose irresistible love puts everything right." It's all one piece. The bountiful pardon of Almighty God is a forgiveness that flows through us and back and to and from other people. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, back and forth, restoring us, renewing us. The God of love and grace offers that to you and me, who can and does put all things right. What weight are you carrying today within yourself against another? What forgiveness is needed? For God's grace is big enough and ready to hold it. That's what Dr. Kent Millard shared with me recently about a prayer practice he has. He says, "Every day I go into my closet to pray." And he says, "I name the needs and the concerns and the worries that I carry, and I put them in my hands. And then I hold them out and I pray." He says, "Oh God, I surrender," and then he names them, "do with it as you will, and whatever you do, I thank you." He said at that moment he imagines God's loving hands coming underneath his, and he entrusts them into the loving hands of God. And then he said, "Now don't think that about midday I try to pick those back up. Then I may just need to surrender them again the next day." And so it is with forgiveness. That is what we are inviting you to do this week, to pray this prayer, but about the things that you want to forgive or would like forgiveness for, that you would put them in your hands this week. Go into your closet, your pantry, your car, wherever. Put them in your hand and pray each day. Pray for forgiveness and release them into the hands of God. And if you pick them up midday, go back the next day. For God's love and grace is big enough to carry loves you unconditionally, and will carry those things. So we're going to do it together now. Be brave. We're going to pray this practice together now. I'm going to guide us through a meditation, and at the end we'll say the Lord's Prayer. So would you get comfortable in your seat? Feel free to use your hands or just do it in your head. Go ahead and close your eyes as you do to pray. Consider, what are you asking God to forgive of you? Who do you need to forgive? Who do you not want to forgive? What do you not want to forgive? What weight are you carrying? As you are ready, and for whatever you are ready, imagine putting them into your hands and hold them tight for a minute. And then take this quiet a moment to pray for forgiveness with the God who loves you most. As you are ready, open your hands, releasing them into the hands of God. Oh, gracious God, receive these things for the hurt, for the need, for the guilt, for the anger. Oh, God, receive these into your loving hands. For there is no ends of the earth. There is nothing you will not do to love us, as seen in the life of Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.